Good morning.
God, why is this so hard for me? I want to obey you. I know it's best for me to obey you, but I always seem to mess up. Maybe I just need to read my Bible more, go to church more, help people more, love people more, try harder. Then I'll be the person that you need me to be. I hope. This is so hard. Sometimes I feel like giving up. Have you ever had a conversation with God in this way? Do you find yourself still struggling and frustrated that after pouring your heart out to God in this way, you still find yourself in the struggle? Struggling to grow, to overcome a certain sinful pattern or behavior in your life, struggling to find peace and contentment, wondering why God hasn't answered your cries for help. Why does it seem like some Christians have overcome so much when so many others, maybe even yourself, struggle to be the person that God wants you to be and fail time after time? Are those Christians who seem to have it all together some super Christians, or even as some may call them, legalistic? Now, I agree there may be a few overly legalistic Christians out there who think their good behavior will bring favor to them in the eyes of God. But I think for some Christians who are struggling, they can use this as an excuse for why they can't change themselves. And know deep down that many of these so-called super Christians are not really legalistic, but have truly overcome and have found true freedom and peace. What have they discovered that maybe others haven't? Have they found some magic formula or gone through some Christian 12-step program that maybe you haven't gone through? Scripture would say, no, they haven't. And no, they're not super Christians either. These people who seem to have overcome so much, they just believe something. Something about themselves and who lives in them now. And they have faith in that. That those who are struggling in so many ways haven't really come to believe in yet. Today, I want to share some of these profound truths that we find in Scripture. And I pray that as God shows this truth to us, that we can leave here today knowing and having faith in the one that lives in us. And for those who do not know the one, I pray that they too can have this one that can give them the power to live a life of victory. So in Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Paul came and said this to the followers of Jesus Christ. He said, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come." The old has gone, and the new has come. Now, before we can grasp what Paul is telling us here, we need to review a little bit on what faith really is. Because if we don't understand what faith is, we will never really be able to experience the profound truth that Paul is giving us in this scripture. So what is faith? Faith is believing in something even when we don't necessarily see it. If you struggle with faith, you're not alone. Even the apostles struggled with faith, which is why Jesus was continually reminding them to have faith. It's pretty important. But we place faith in a lot of things. We place faith when we walk onto an airplane, that the pilot actually knows how to fly it, Nowadays, we don't even see the pilot most of the time. He's behind that locked cockpit door. He's in there, and we know he's in there checking instruments, making sure the plane's ready to go. And we have faith that he's going to get us to our destination safely. We place faith in our doctors whenever we have to go into surgery. And why do we believe that some man that we hardly know is going to operate on us and take care of our loved ones or ourselves? How do we know that we're safe in his hands? Because he has a certificate hanging on his wall saying that we're safe. But we'll put faith in that. And there's nothing wrong with that because we know that we're in good hands. You see, the Bible tells us over and over again to have this kind of faith when it comes to what God says about who we are and who he is. And we have reason to believe God. We have reason to believe because of everything he has already done in our lives and in the creation of the universe. So we have reason to believe him. And even if we can't see it right now, God says we are still to have faith that he will take care of it. So I go back to what Paul said. The old is gone and the new has come. Do we believe that? Or do we just go through the motions saying we believe, but our lives don't really show it? Now, I wanted to go over briefly what faith is, because everything in our life as a believer and following Christ begins and ends with faith. When you first decided to follow Jesus, it took faith to believe that Jesus paid the penalty for your sin by dying for you on the cross. It took faith in knowing that you were forgiven. It took faith to believe that no matter how many times you may have failed, his grace is greater than any sin or failure in your life. And it took faith to believe Jesus when he said he would never leave you. This is the gospel or good news, right? But I'm here today to say that's not all the good news. Many times us Christians stop there and either forget or we ignore the rest of the good news. Or maybe someone just failed to tell us what the rest of the good news is. And the rest of the good news is that you are given a new birth. Your old self has died, and your new self has risen with Christ, with his Holy Spirit living in you. We come to the cross, you see, with our sin and with our shame, and ask Jesus to forgive us. And for any Christian, they have real faith in this, that Jesus is always faithful to forgive. But you see, the problem is we get stuck there, forgetting that Jesus made us a new creation in him. So we continue to struggle in the very things that Jesus continues to forgive us over. You know, it's not supposed to be this way. Not that Jesus won't forgive us over and over again, he will. But it's not supposed to be this way, to be struggling over and over again. Because that's not the full gospel. It's not the full good news. Here is the rest of the good news. Jesus said in John 14:16, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. Now, Jesus also said that his kingdom now lives in you. Jesus said in Luke 17:21, the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. Now, when you come to Jesus, he puts the source of his life in the center of your life. Do you have as much faith in this source, the Spirit living in you, as the faith you placed in Jesus to forgive you? Do you believe? Do you have faith that you are a new creation? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit living in you? Do you believe that your old self has died with Christ and your new self is risen? Do you know it takes the same faith to believe in this truth as the truth that you are always forgiven in Christ? You know, we'll believe in the grace of God to forgive our sins. And as we said earlier, we stop there and won't believe in the same grace that was given to us so we can live a new life. A life where true freedom is found. If a Christian fails to believe that they are this new creation and have faith in this, they can lack authentic and real and radical change in their life. Jesus loves us so much, too much, to let us go down that path, which is why he was always telling his apostles to have faith in everything. Believe in the full inheritance to you, given to you through the cross where Christ died for you, the full inheritance. Stand firm in that belief that your old self has died and passed away at the cross, and your new self has been risen with Christ through his resurrection. Now, I know everyone has watched the NFL playoffs and the Super Bowl, and I just want to give an example of how powerful belief is. Now, most of us have watched the NFC Championship game between the Seahawks and the Packers. That was unbelievable what happened there, where the Seahawks came back in the final 2 minutes of that game. You know, it was funny though, but I was reading Facebook posts during the game from a lot of my Seahawk friends. And as I'm reading these things, I went back and looked at some of them, by the way. And as I'm reading these things, I was going, I don't know, they seem to think their team is done. Here's one of those posts that I looked back at. Not happy, but Seattle flat out played terrible. Way too many turnovers. And at this point, I'm ready for next year. Here's another one. What the heck happened to my Seahawks? What is wrong with them? You know, they sounded a lot like Chicago Cub fans. But here's the point. The game wasn't even over yet. At least us Cub fans wait until the season's over to say, wait till next year. We think we're going to win the World Series this year. But now I do need to talk a little bit about something depressing, though. And for you Seahawk fans, please don't leave. I got some more things to say. But I need to talk about the Super Bowl. The Seahawks made that amazing comeback in the championship game. But before I talk about the Super Bowl, right after the NFC championship game, Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson said this after that win. He said, "We never doubted, we knew we would win that game." Now, be honest, after that NFC championship game, how many of you thought they would win that game? Or while that fourth quarter was going on? I know I didn't. I was like, that game's over. But Russell Wilson said, we never doubted. We knew we would win that game. You know, and Wilson said this because he said he had faith in his teammates and he had faith that they would pull out the win. Now, we get to the Super Bowl, and what happened there? Did Russell Wilson not have enough faith in his teammates in that game? Did he not believe enough that they would win? Even when it seemed like at the end that they would pull out another miraculous win. But we know what happened. Yeah, they lost in the final few seconds. And it was still, that was the worst call. I can't believe he made that call. But they still lost. But Russell Wilson said this after the game. He posted this on his Twitter. He said, "Thank you, God, for the opportunity will be back. I will never waver on who he has called me to be. Now, I said all this to show what belief can really do to make a difference. Whether it is pulling out an amazing comeback or even in a loss, Russell Wilson believed they would win the Super Bowl, even though they didn't. And when his team fell short, he still never wavered. You see, I say this because we have even a greater power living in us to believe in. And that is Christ living in us as believers. Now, Jesus is not necessarily going to help you win a football game, but he will help you overcome your old self and your old ways that so easily can trip us up, because it's his will for all of our lives as believers is to have us overcome. We can believe that. And trying harder in your own strength to overcome whatever weakness, sin, or whatever is holding you back is not going to be enough. Believing in who Jesus is and who he says you are now, and believing that his Spirit lives in you, his kingdom, is what's going to give you the strength to overcome anything in your life or anything that tries to trip you up. Our greatest need is not to try harder. Our greatest need is a new heart. Just over 500 years before Jesus ever walked this earth, God told the prophet Ezekiel what God would do to help us overcome our issues and our problems. God said to Ezekiel in Ezekiel 36:26, "And I will give you a new heart, and I will put in you a new spirit. I will take out your stony and stubborn heart and give you a tender and responsive heart." Jesus came to save us. He came and he bought us through his death. And then he gave us his Holy Spirit to live in us so we can live the life God intended for us. Jesus said then to be holy as I am holy. Now, how are we supposed to do that? In our own power, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Through Jesus Christ, who gave us the new heart. If Christ has saved you, you have this new heart. You were given it as a gift. Your old self has died with Christ, and your new self is risen. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says here in Galatians 2:20. Paul says, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Do you believe this? Do you believe the words that Paul says, because they were given to him by God? Do you trust in these words as much as you trust in the words that, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, for whoever believes in him will have everlasting life"? We believe that Christ saved us, we believe that Christ forgave us, and we are to believe that he has given us a new life now, to live in obedience to him. God is not asking you to repent or turn away from some wrongful action. He is asking you to repent from your old ways and turn away from your old ways that so often leads us to a wrongful action or a sinful action. God is saying, come away from your old ways, from your old self. to your new created self, to live for Him. This is what living by faith really is all about. God is asking you to surrender your old self to Him so He can bring out the new risen person you were intended to be in Christ. Jesus paid the ultimate price for this gift that He has given to you. We are to take up the identity that is in His name, give up who we once were, and believe in who we are now. And if you stumble along the way, God's grace is sufficient, and Jesus is faithful to forgive. But don't look back to your old ways and your old self. I can pretty much say that Russell Wilson, I doubt that he's looking back at that Super Bowl loss right now. He's looking forward. He's looking forward to next year. Yeah, the loss is there, but he's still looking forward. And that's what God wants us to do if we stumble. He will forgive, and we keep moving forward in our new created self. If you are in Christ, your old self is not who you are anymore. You are a new creation. So there are a few things many of us Christians will say to ourselves and to others. We say this often, well, everyone sins, and we're all sinners. Although this is true, is that where our focus should be? In defeat? Or worse, we tend to use it as an excuse for falling short. You see, the Bible is not telling us to do that. It's telling us to move forward in the forgiveness, in the grace, to be the person God wants us to be. In Romans 6, 1 through 2, Paul says this, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that the grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer?" Now, is Paul saying that we will never mess up? No. As long as we live in this body, we will constantly be tempted to go back to our old self and our old ways that so often leads to sin. But we should never use that as an excuse. As a Christian, Jesus now lives in us. We have a different choice. To have faith in Christ living in us so we can overcome, to believe in who we are now. This is really what brings out true freedom, contentment, and peace in believing in this. Now, if you're sitting here today wondering if you are living in your old self, I can tell you, and I will admit that as I was preparing for this message, I was convicted because I felt that I was living in my old self. Even when I thought that I was living in the new created self, there was times where I was, but I forgot who I am now in Christ. So what do you hear the Lord speaking to you? If you can't hear His voice, then pray and ask God to show you. Ask God to give you a hunger to follow in His ways through His Holy Spirit that was given to you already. Believe in what Jesus has done for you. Walk in this faith, the absolute assurance that He is in you. I talked a little today about repentance. And again, repentance is simply turning and walking the other way from your old self to your new self. It's a change of mind, a change of direction. If you stumble, remember you're not condemned. Jesus is your righteousness. There is no effort that will ever fulfill the standard of God. Only Christ can make us overcomers in anything we can ever imagine. Now we know what Jesus wants. He wants our devotion to Him. Jesus desires this because it is through the new heart He has given us as followers so we can love as He loves, to serve as He serves, to place others before ourselves as He placed Himself before us. This is how we overcome and have peace and contentment. As Christian, you are a new creation. You did not inherit this new nature, nor did you recreate yourself to become this new creation. God does not clean up your old nature. God created something brand new and unique for those who believe in His Son. Only our Creator can do this. You can't. But He does ask you to believe in who you are now. In closing, I want to just give one last illustration of this. Now, if I gave my son a brand new car, let's just say a Ferrari, what would you think if my son looked at this beautiful car, admired it, then walked back to his old, broken-down car and said, "Thanks, Dad. I don't believe you gave me that. I will just fix up this car instead." Now, my son has that choice, not to believe that the new Ferrari is his, and he can go back to his old car. Of course, that choice comes with the cost. He will have to spend a lot of money to get his old car working. He'll have to deal with frustration of having the old car break down time and time again. But he has that choice. And I still give him that gift. Or he can accept the gift and believe the new Ferrari is his. He will still have to perform maintenance on his new Ferrari. And Trevor, don't get all excited. You're not getting a new Ferrari. He still has to do maintenance. He will have to change the oil. He'll have to check the tires. And of course, put gas in the car to keep it running. But he would know this car is his. And it's a lot more reliable. And let's face it, it's a lot more fun. Now, I know this illustration of comparing an old car to a new car is not the same as comparing to an old life and a new life. But if we think about it a little bit, we sort of do this with God. You'll still have to deal with the consequences of stumbling along the way if you live in the old life. But you have a choice to accept the Ferrari that was given to you, the new life. And as with the car, you'll have to change the oil, checking the tires, putting the gas in the car. You need to go to read your Bible, go to church, be around other believers. Those things are good. It keeps you moving forward. It keeps you growing. It keeps you maintained as God is speaking into your life. But as you move forward in this new life, God's power starts manifesting in your life. If you think pressing the gas pedal on a Ferrari is intense, what do you think will happen when you press the gas pedal on the Holy Spirit living in your life, moving forward, and trusting in that? That is intense. So as I close today, I want to invite my daughter Anna up to sing a song. And she's going to sing a song by Hillsong called Oceans. And I asked Anna to sing this because I know people struggle in believing who they are, as I have. And I think the words to the song really speak to what that is all about. So I'm going to let Anna sing.